Good morning, or good evening. I almost said good morning. I'm so used to saying that on Sundays. But it is good to see everybody here, and we've got a good size group tonight. I'm thankful for that. I'm going to ask Dan if he wouldn't mind opening us up in prayer as we begin our Bible study time tonight. Amen. Just a reminder that tomorrow night, the ASL worship night hosted by Gardner Webb's Joyful Hands ministry team is going to be here at the church. They have shut down or shut off the RSVP because they had to turn in an order to the caterer for the meal. But if you've not RSVP'd, I'm sorry, the meal is not going to be available anymore for that. But the service at 6:30, we still invite you to come to the service here at 6:30 and join us as we worship together tomorrow night. The speaker will be Pastor Brance Long from the Charlotte Deaf Mission. So I encourage you guys to come and be part of that tomorrow night. And also, Sunday is the last day to sign up and pay for the Lottie Moon auction, dinner auction. Sign up's on the bulletin board. We have until Sunday to do that. And then also, they're asking that all the donations for Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes be in Sunday because they will be packing boxes on Wednesday with the children. So just those two things. And now we're going to get into chapter 2 of Daniel. So if you'll go ahead and turn there, we're going to look at the first 13 verses. And I'm going to tell you that Nebuchadnezzar shows some street smarts. Let's just say it that way. He shows how smart he is in these verses. So let's look at verse 1 first of Daniel chapter 2. It says, "Now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him." You ever had a dream so bad that you couldn't sleep? It woke you up and kept you from sleeping? There have been many times that I've had something on my mind that was giving me crazy dreams. And I woke up and I wasn't necessarily worried about the dreams, but I was very heavy-hearted about what I had been thinking about. And I just couldn't go back to sleep. And that's hard. Okay. Now here's the thing. When it says now in the second year, they're not totally sure of when this actually took place, because ancient Babylon had a different way of looking at the reign of kings, and so it could be in the second year. It could be in the third year. It could have been, you know, they're not quite sure. They don't know that if he had these dreams and it had been troubling him for a long period of time. Don't know. Don't know if it happened after Daniel had gone through his 3 years of training that we talked about last week, or if it happened during the time that Daniel was being trained. I have a feeling, because of what Scripture says, that we're going to look at tonight. It may be after those 3 years of training. Okay? So, but this whatever this dream was, it was significant and it bothered Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? Now look at verses 2 through 9. Now the king gave orders to call the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. The king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to understand the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic. O king, live forever. Tell the dream to your servants, and we will declare the interpretation. The king replied to the Chaldeans, the command for me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be made rubbish, a rubbish heap. But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you will receive from me gifts and a reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, let the king tell the dream to his servants, and we will declare the interpretation. The king replied, I know for certain that you are bargaining for time, inasmuch as you have seen that the command for me is firm, that if you do not make the dream known to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation. This is where Nebuchadnezzar shows how smart he is. Because he understood that these magicians and the soothsayers, that a lot of times they would just tell you something, and he doubted their power. He doubted their ability to actually do what they had claimed to do. And understand this. He had inherited all of these guys from his father's reign. So he didn't trust them. And he showed how smart he truly was by saying, I'm not going to tell you my dream. If you are as good as you say you are, you will be able to tell me what my dream was and then tell me what it means. That way I'll know that you're telling me the truth and you really can interpret my dream. They said, we can't do that, you know. And he says, if you don't do it, I'm going to kill you. And in fact, he says something very harsh. I think the King James Version says you'll be cut into pieces. But the version that I'm reading, the NSAB, says you will be torn limb from limb. They will be put into pieces. That he was serious. And they still didn't believe him. They still wanted to argue with him. And he says, I told you, you know, I've already said this is what's going to happen. I have made a decree. If you can't do this, this is what's going to happen. So they're arguing and everything like that. So, but this is also the first time the term Chaldeans is used. And we have to remember that at the very beginning when I was given the background of Daniel and some of the issues people had with Daniel, that it was really truly written by Daniel and not a later writer, is because of the use of this word. But we have to understand this, is that linguistics show that ancient Babylonian speech, there were some words that sounded exactly alike, but each word meant something different. For instance, T-U, pronounce it. You got out loud, pronounce it, T-U. Huh? The word two. Spanish, it means you, two. Okay? Then you have T-O. T-O-O. T-W-O. Different words, but all the same pronunciation, all the same sound, but they mean very different things. That's what they're saying is going on with this word here. It's not that Daniel, it was written by somebody in the future or in the second century BC, but that it was written there, and these words that are being used meant something totally different. In fact, this was used as a, I'm trying to think, make sure I'm saying the right word. It is used, the word used here is used as a racial sense, as a classification of this race of people. It wasn't referring to, because the word became known as referring to mysticism and people that supposedly had special powers and everything, but in this particular case, it was dealing with the racial people, and out of those people came these soothsayers and everything like that. And in fact, they are the soothsayers here, but it's actually being used in a manner that is referring to race. Here is something else. Scripture says that the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic. Aramaic was the language of Babylon. That was their language. And it, this particular verse from verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4 to chapter 7, verse 8, is the only section of the Old Testament that is not written in Hebrew and instead is written in Aramaic. Because that was the language of the Babylonian Empire. Just like the New Testament was written in Greek, because that was the language of the Roman Empire. Okay. Now look at verses 10 through 11. Now we get to see Nebuchadnezzar's hothead. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can declare the matter of the king for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult, and there is no one else who could declare it to the king except gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh." Oh, if they could only know. They are getting sort of spiteful with the king. He's like, "You're asking something that's impossible. Ain't nobody can do what you're asking him to do, king. And then besides that, no king has ever asked anybody to do what you're asking them to do. You're being unreasonable. What you're asking is impossible." And then they say something that is very, very important. No one else could declare it to God or gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. Well, according to Matthew 1:23, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. So these soothsayers and magicians that could tell the future and interpret dreams, they didn't know too much, did they? Because now we know that God became flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus Christ. Something they said was impossible, that it could not happen. They just knew that they couldn't do it. Yep. So then, let's look at see these last two verses, what happens. This is where Nebuchadnezzar, after their little thing of telling him that he was asking the impossible, that nobody had asked anybody to do that before. Verse 12 says, because of this, the king became indignant. King James Version says, very angry, and very furious, and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. That verse right there, that last part of verse 13, is why I believe that this took place after the 3 years of training that Daniel, Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah, thank you. I keep going blank on his name. I like the VeggieTales, and they just call him Rack, Shack, and Benny. It's a lot easier. But notice that they are already considered wise men. And remember that the end of chapter 1, they had been placed directly in the king's service because they were found to be wiser and better than anybody else in the land. So this is why I believe that this actually happened after that 3 years of training that Daniel and his friends went through, because they were considered wise men. And because they were considered wise men, even though they were not part of this group that was telling the king that it was impossible, they were included in that group. And here Nebuchadnezzar saw his chance to clear house and bring his own people in. So that's where we stand right now. This is the first time Daniel and his friends their heads are on the chopping block. Well, it's not the first time. It's the first time they're going after them to kill them. So any questions about this first part of chapter 2? No questions. Okay. Well, we will continue next week with from verse 14, and we'll get as far as we can. I don't think we'll get all the way through it, but we will get as far as we can. Actually, I know we won't get all the way through it, because the next two chapters are dealing with the interpretation of the dream. So, well, let's end our Bible study time with prayer, and then we'll go into our time of prayer. So let's pray. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you have done for us, dear Lord. Thank you for what we see written in Daniel, dear Lord. And thank you for the fact that you are the God of gods, the King of kings, and Lord of lords. And you, dear Lord, are the one that dwelled among us and became flesh. And we thank you for that. Dear Lord, bless this time that we've just had and studying your word. And dear Lord, I ask that you bless the time that we're getting ready to go into as we come together in prayer, making our petitions known to you. And we ask all of this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.